Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our study on the one true church. We talk about the church of God here.
Will
never appear in two period times. First will appear in the time of the apostle. And then the second will appear in
our time,
that is the end time. We know that this is the plan of God.
Save
the humanity. Now I want to look at some example from the Old Testament scriptures. As we know that the rebuilding of the temple signified the rebuilding of the end-time true church. We find that when the first temple was built, there are some very unique characteristics that we can look at. And in fact, these are also very similar to appeared in the rebuilding of the temple. I want to read 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Here it talks about Solomon. Was instructed to build the temple. Now, I want you to read chapter 28. We first read verse 6. First Chronicles chapter 28,
verse 6.
Now he said to me, "It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will obey his father."
Nakutira kuri ine Solomoni mwano wene akakurenga ndeyandi nema ntashandi kandi nali musara kubo mwana wandi mwaume naine nkaba wishi. First Chronicles chapter 28 verse 6.
We know that King David had many sons. Here God said to David that he has chosen his son Solomon to be his son, the son of God. And God will be his father. You find that this is a very unique calling from God. So for Solomon to rebuild the temple of for Solomon to build the temple of God. First of all, we find that he was given this unique relationship with God. Now, I want you to read the same chapter. Here in verse 11, then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, his houses, his treasuries, his upper chambers, in the inner chamber, and the place of the mercy seat.
Hello, David. The apere kuri Solomon imwane icha mikuri le changu kuture wakuingiri ramo necha maya ndapo necha ndero eshachpao necha tuya ndato wakamuru necha mikuture ya mukati necha nganda yaku yacha konsolwe rapo.
Even though Solomon was chosen to build the temple, you find that the plans of the building actually came from the father, David.
Now,
where did David get these ideas of rebuilding the temple from, or the plans from.
We
read verse 12.
Chapter 28, verse 12.
And the plans for all that he had by the Spirit.
So
we find that the building of the temple, the plan for the building of the temple, originated from God. So we find that building the temple is not just a human invention. Man could not build according to how he liked it to be built. Here we are talking about the temple of God. In the Old Testament time, the temple represents the presence of God. Oh, we said the temple is the place where the presence of the Lord is. So for God to abide himself with the temple, and indeed the people of God, the temple must be built according to the plan that God has given. It's not something that man can simply build. So in this chapter we can see two very important elements inherent to the rebuilding, to the building of the temple. First, Solomon must be chosen. Secondly, the plan must come from the Spirit of God. This is how the first temple was built. Now I want you to look at Haggai. We know that the first temple was destroyed. God decided to bring his people back from captivity. To rebuild his temple. Now I want you to read chapter 2.
Chapter 2, verse 23.
In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, but chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. We find that Zerubbabel was one of the returnees back from Babylon to Jerusalem. He is a representation of God's workers who built the temple, who rebuilt the temple. The most important thing is that here we are told that he has been chosen by God. If he has not been chosen, then he cannot rebuild the temple. Now, chapter 2, we read verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, do not fear.
Here
we find that the Spirit of God is present. So when they returned, they had to build on the original site. So the foundation must be on its formal site. Now when you put these two passages together, 1 Chronicles chapter 28 talks about the building of the first temple or the requirements before the building of the first temple. When you look at Haggai chapter 2, and here it basically states the similar requirements. Can you see now? They were both chosen by God, and the Spirit of God was present in both cases. Now put this in the context of the Apostolic Church and the End Time True Church. Now who is qualified to build the temple? To build the temple of God, one must be chosen by God. He must be a son of God. Just like Solomon was told that he was the son of God. Now if you look at the time of the apostle, the apostle and those who later on came to believe, they were baptized. According to Paul, they were the children of God. That's why they were eligible to build the temple of God. Today, we are the children of God through baptism. We have been baptized, and we are called the children of God. We are just like Zerubbabel. We have been chosen by God. Even though Zerubbabel represents Christ, contextually speaking, he has been chosen by God as well. Now, if you look at the Apostolic Church, you know the plan of building the Apostolic Church, that is the truth, was given by the Holy Spirit. Just like God gave the plans of the first building to David, and David gave to his son Solomon. So today we are the same. We have this Holy Spirit. The Spirit tells us about the truth of the apostle, or the truth preached by the apostle. That's why today we preach the same. Can you see now? How the first temple and the second temple represent the first church and our church today. Is that okay? Can you see the similarities? Is that okay? Alright, we move on. Now we turn to Amos, yeah? Amos chapter 9. We read verse 11.
Amos chapter 9 verse 11.
Amos chapter 9 verse 11.
Amos chapter 9 verse 11.
Now, on that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old.
Muri wa kushikunke miaka misato ya kwa David iawa, ikachirika ni pipongolo ya iko, ukemia nefya wa muka ya iko, noku pikula nga munchi kushaka ye.
Here it talks about what? The fallen tabernacle of David. But God has decided to repair his damages, to raise up his ruins, and to rebuild it as in the days of old. We have explained before, ruins represent uncleanness, iniquities, or whatever in Ezekiel chapter 36. Now, you know, how do we know that this refers to the rebuilding of the end time true church? We first turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter
15.
We read verse 16 to 18.
Chapter 15, verse 16 to 18.
Actually, here James stood up during the Jerusalem conference to explain that it is necessary to accept the Gentiles believers. Now, here he quoted the example from Amos. Verse 17, he says, "So let the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things." You know that James uses this to explain that, yeah, the church must accept Gentiles. But here I think he has a very specific reason in mind. Now, if you look at the content in chapter 15 of Acts, the conference was convened because of what? Because of the difference between law and grace. Yeah? Now, as what we have said before, we know that the law cannot remove iniquities. As a result, it's like the tabernacle of David was caused to fall. Or those who would like to return to the law is like what? Cause the tabernacle of David to fall. So that's why they must rely on grace. They must rely on Jesus Christ. To rebuild this temple of God. So in the time of the apostle, you find that the apostle preached about Jesus and the law of faith. So by which people sin can be truly forgiven. In that sense, the tabernacle of David was rebuilt. But we know that every prophecy is multifaceted. Meaning there are many layers to it. So apart from referring to the apostolic church, that prophecy can also be used to represent the rebuilding of the end time true church. Now, if you look at the Apostolic Church as a whole, through the work of the Apostle, and those who came to believe, the tabernacle of David was fully built. But after the death of the Apostle, because of corruption and infiltration of heresy into the church, you find that this tabernacle of David, fell. So the true Jesus Church today has the duty to rebuild this fallen tabernacle of David. Now the important point is this. To repair its damages and to build up its and to rebuild its ruins. Now today, if you look at all the churches in the world, now you all know which church has the power to forgive sin. Rebuilding is ruin means the forgiveness of sin. Only the church that has the presence of the Spirit has the power to forgive sin. So without the Holy Spirit, even though a person is baptized, say 100 times, his sins remain. So a church without the Holy Spirit cannot be the one who rebuilt the ruins of the tabernacle of David. So it has to be the end time true church. Is that clear? You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
If you are amen, I finish. Let's eat. Let the truth be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we look at some passages. We know that for the church to be revealed, the Spirit must be there.
Huh?
I want you to turn to Joel. Joel. I want you to read chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
If you read from verse 13, you read verse 12, here it says what? The vine has dried up and the fig tree has withered, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field, what happens? Are withered, surely joy has withered away from the Son of Man. Okay, now we look at verse 16 as well. Is not the foot cut off before your eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God? Now, I want to ask you a question. What does joy represent? In the context of the New Testament scriptures,
it's
an expression of having received salvation. Is that not true? But here it says cut off. Now we read verse
18.
How the animals groan, the herds of cattle are restless because they have no pasture, even the flock of sheep suffer punishment.
ikimaombe kyapeshiwa amanu panta kuli mulelu kwe kuli kyene mikuni ya mpanga nayo yapererwa.
Pasture represent what? The word of God. The word of God is not there anymore. If the word of God is not there, obviously the ship will suffer. Yeah? Ship represents what? God's people.
Right?
Pasture is not there. God's people suffer. Now, if you look at verse 19, O Lord, to you I cried out, for fire has devoured the open pasture, and the flame has burnt all the trees of the field. All the water brooks are dried up. The water brooks, the rivers are dried up. All the open pasture were devoured by fire. But when you come to chapter 2, there is a change of situation. Now verse 21.
Chapter 2 verse 21.
Now, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pasture are springing up. Is it? And the trees bear his fruits, and the fig trees and vine yield their strength. Now you can see there is a change of what situation, from bad to good. How does that come about? This 23 and 24 explain. When the Spirit comes. Can you see now? I want you to read verse 24. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the wet shall overflow with new wine and oil. What do they represent? It represents the overflowing of God's goodness. Turn to Jeremiah.
Book of Jeremiah,
chapter 31. We read verse 12.
Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12.
31, verse 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and new wine and oil, for young of the flock and the herd. Their soul shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. Here it represents what? The goodness of God was given to them. This only happened when the Spirit comes, as mentioned in Joel chapter 2, verse 23. That's why here it talks about two periods of rain. The early rain, which was given to the Apostolic Church, and the latter rain, which is being given to the entire church. So when the rain comes, joy restored. People within can feel what? The goodness of God. If you look at Joel chapter
1,
they had joy before. They had this pasture before, but were taken away. Why? Because of sin. When you come to Joel chapter 2, That shall be given. That is joy and pasture and trees and all the goodness of God. Can you see there are two periods? Very clear in the Bible. Is that okay?
Yes.
Any question? Question? Now, if you have no question, maybe I want to explain a bit more on verse 23, yeah? Chapter 2, verse
23.
Now, how do we know that rain, the formal rain and the latter rain, represent the two periods of the Holy Spirit, the two periods where the Spirit comes down? I remember talking about this before. Can someone tell me the verse which says that rain represents the Holy Spirit or rain represents God? Where is it? Isaiah, yes, 55, and one more, which is clearer. Hosea. We read chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6.
Hosea chapter 6.
We read verse 3. Chapter 6, verse 3.
Hosea chapter 6, verse 3.
Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. He is going forth, is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and a formal rain to the earth. So here it says God shall come like what? Come to us like the rain. You see? So for us to say that the rain represents the Holy Spirit, that is not wrong at all. I want you to look at chapter 2, verse 23 again. Now here it says, for he has be glad then you children of Zion and rejoice in the Lord your God. If you are children of God in Zion, you should be happy. Why? Because God is going to give the Spirit, His Spirit, to the children of Zion. So if you are within Zion, or if you are in the true church of God, surely you will receive the Holy Spirit. This is a promise. Here it also says, he has given you the formal rain faithfully. The first formal rain here refers to the teacher of righteousness. Because another translation render the formal rain to be the teacher of righteousness. The second formal rain here refers to the first downpour of the Spirit. Which happens in what? In the time of the apostle. And the latter rain refers to what? to the type of the end time true church. So when the rain comes, we find that what the threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the well shall overflow with new wine and oil. Now we turn to Zechariah, chapter 14. Former rain, the first one represents the teacher of righteousness, which is Jesus. You know that after Jesus has come, ascended back to heaven, then the first downpour of rain occurred, isn't it? The former rain occurred. That is the downpour of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You understand what I'm saying?
It's also called the former rain.
Yeah, former rain, yes. And the latter rains, which is being poured out now in the end time. Is that okay? I thought we mentioned this before. Now we turn to Zechariah. We read chapter 14, yeah?
Zechariah chapter 14.
Verse 17. And it shall be that whichever of the family of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Verse 18. If the family of Egypt will not come up and either and enter in, they shall have no rain. Jerusalem and Zion are one in the same, right? We already studied this, yeah? So meaning, if you do not enter into the community of faith, the Church of God, or you do not come into contact with the Church of God, then no rain shall be given. Okay. Yes, Sina?
Yes, sir.
This is the design of God. We cannot say anything. We cannot challenge. We cannot challenge
Him.
Okay. Any more questions? If not, then we conclude. Okay. Please read up 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus.
Let's pray.